Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on today?
I'm good. I'm busy, but I'm good. And I am... Chris, last week, I think we spoke about Adobe Premiere and you teaching me Adobe Premiere, the Chris Broad masterclass on Adobe Premiere. This week, I'd very,
Sony Vegas.
very much like to know... if you have sold anything on eBay recently.
Is eBay still a thing? I don't... I've never heard anyone use it in years.
Oh, everybody uses eBay, surely. But I am helping a mate sell some computers from a family member. And there's a lot of computers, a lot of computer components kicking around. And there's a lot of quite annoying people on eBay these days. Just constantly asking you... Can you end this early so I can get a discount? Will you accept this?
Really?
Why can't people just go on the fucking auction, excuse my language, and just wait until the auction is ended, put their bids in, and then F the F off? Why can't they do that, Chris?
I think we live in a world where people just want to have the thing they want, and I would be tempted to just buy it now. I'm a buy it now person.
You're a buy it now person.
I don't
want
to wait and bid and sort of see if I'm going to get it or not. I like the definitive answer there and then.
Yeah.
I want my chocolate. I want my toys. I want them now.
I do kind of understand that because I think people who kind of really get a big kick out of eBay auctions and auctions in general, they're the sort of people who probably play the markets, probably do this and that.
I mean, and some people just spend all their days on it, right, trying to find deals and trying to swindle people and get a cheap price.
Yeah.
If I ever go on eBay, I mean, I haven't been on eBay since like 2004, so I don't remember a great deal about it, to be honest. But I remember often just hitting the buy it now button and paying a little bit more just to seal the deal and get, you know, the DVD I wanted there and then, rather than wait. So, yeah. What are you, so are you selling something on there or buying something?
No, I'm just selling a lot of computer components and just everyone just doing my loafing. I'm not an organised man. I'm sick and tired of having to go to... One bloke last night was going, oh, can you not use Parcelforce? Can you not use Evry or DPD, please? Because I don't like those. Can you send it via Parcelforce? I was like, yeah, if you fucking pay more, you pay me for printering, you absolute cheb.
Don't buy things from Pete Donaldson.
No.
He's a ruthless seller.
I hate people, Lynn. I hate them. I'm sick of driving to industrial estates just to buy some fucking cardboard boxes to deliver some unlovable 1080 graphics cards to people. Ah!
Well, I share your frustration slightly. I've been looking at studios in Tokyo this week.
Oh, Lord.
And good God, it's expensive. It's like thrice the price of Sendai.
Oh, God.
Thrice the price. Just like a Pete Donaldson toy that you want to buy, that you don't want to do an auction for. It's just so damn expensive for anything, and it's quite shit.
Disheartening.
And, but also, it's just really hard finding something in general that ticks the boxes. Did find something, so I'm going down on Thursday to have a poke around. It's cool, but it's next to a gigantic concrete highway overpass.
Right.
And it could be quite loud.
Yeah.
So I would need to have like five layers of windows to keep the sound down, soundproof it.
Yeah.
Could be kind of cool though, opening the window and just having like a massive highway overpass. Could be very
No one has ever said
cyberpunk-y.
That sentence ever. No one has ever said that sentence ever, and you are, look, by all means, deceive yourself, Chris, but I just think you might be lying to yourself for the sake of ease of use.
No. Who doesn't want a concrete overpass out their window?
I actually like human shit on my hands, actually.
Oh,
I actually like that.
It's not comparable. No. But it's cool, right? With the Abroad Japan set, right? Do you know at the far end, we use a projector?
Yes.
And on the projector, you know, imagine if that was just a window with a concrete highway overpass full of Tokyo traffic. Wouldn't that be cool?
It would
Wouldn't
be
you
cool,
wanna
yeah.
I see mean, that?
Again,
yeah,
you would have to make it very... And also, the vantage point would dictate that surely you would be looking over the overpass, unless you...
Over the overpass.
Over the overpass.
Or over the underpass? Or under the overpass?
Over the underpass, I guess so, yeah. Looking up into the underpass. Right at it.
Point is, bloody expensive. Mm. Hopefully it's good, though, because if this place doesn't tick the boxes and I don't get it, I'm kind of stuffed because I haven't found my friend who's looking for me, we just haven't found anything that is reasonable, so bit worrying. And then there's the apartment as well, so don't move. It's really
don't
not
move.
Fun
don't do anything. That's
God,
what I
kill
say.
Me
yeah,
what a nightmare. Well, I told you about how I went sailing through a sunken forest last week. Was that last week?
That Jesus. Was last week, yeah.
Where's time gone?
What What's have you happening? Done in the last week? I've done nothing. I've done nothing apart from dick about.
I mean, I'm 33 in 3 days' time, and I don't know what I've done the last 7 days. I suppose I sailed in a sunken forest, and soon I'm going to be looking at a room that has a concrete highway overpass in it. But it's not kind of what I thought it would look like when I turned 33. I was expecting something a bit more exotic and glamorous, and I feel like I haven't got to that
You've
point.
You've been lied to. Somehow.
I've been lied to. Getting older. It's rubbish.
No.
Everything I've been told is a lie. Anyway, we've got a story this week, guys, from Tom in Melbourne, who says, dear, I don't even know what that word is, cockamimi. What's cockamimi mean, Pete?
Is it cockanini? Cockanini? It's the sort of thing you'd sort of hear in a Disney film from the 50s.
Excellent.
I thought it was cockanini.
It is a bit like cockanini.
I think it's like
Mary
crazy.
Poppins.
Is it crazy? I think it might mean crazy.
Cockamimi Chris and parsimonious pitfall. From now on, there's a rule. All adjectives have to be very short and very simplistic.
Parsimonious.
Like cool
because,
and happy Pete.
I mean, I will say that that is definitely not true, even though I am a man trying to, you know, sell things on eBay recently. I'm very loose in my money. I'm terrible.
Very parsimonious. Mm. Anyway, my name's Tom, and I'm from Melbourne, and I like annoying words. And recently, I returned from a month-long holiday in Japan. One Friday night, While waiting for the Sunshine Express in the Shinkansen waiting room, a very pretty Japanese woman came up to me with a Google translated message on her phone and said, "Will you please be my friend?" Oh, isn't that nice? Mm. Despite being a little bit startled, I said, "Yeah, sure, I'll be your friend." And she then proceeded to ask me several personal questions when I was leaving Japan the following Wednesday. I then asked similar questions and discovered that she was called Yuki, single, 33 years old, all right, so, and apparently waiting for her sister to pick her up from the station. Although I was happy to have a chat and to see where it went, I was also wary of her potentially robbing me or scamming me in some way, as it seemed too good to be true. Absolutely fair enough. This sort of thing doesn't happen that often, let alone on a train station platform. I asked Yuki if she had any plans, to which she said no. So I asked her what she wanted to do, and she responded by holding up her finger to her mouth in a shh motion and looked around. She typed into Google Translate, DM me on Instagram. We followed each other on Instagram, and she said she wanted to see me again. Good Lord. Yuki then said her sister was waiting, so she had to go. But a few minutes later, Yuki returned with her sister. She asked her sister to take a photo of us together, feeling wary. I asked what the photo was for which her sister said, "Memories." So I went along with it. Yuki thanked me, and I hugged her. But before I could pull away, she gave me a great big kiss on the cheek. When I then pulled away, we both looked at each other very briefly before going in for a full kiss on the lips shortly after she left. I mean, this just sounds like fantasy at this point. It sounds like a dream Tom had. Anyway, the next day, she messaged me on Instagram. "I'm truly happy," she said, "to have been able to meet you. For better or worse, we never met up before I left." However, she did reply to one of my Instagram stories with, "I love you." Her Instagram account seems to be a burner account, as it has no photos of her, nor her name, nor any followers. Was she trying to scam or rob me? Or did she simply want to make friends with a foreigner? Like she said at the start, it would be good to hear your theories that you guys might have. All the best, Tom from Melbourne.
Sexy Tom.
He must have been the most handsome, attractive Australian in the world. Funnily enough, I know a guy called Tom from Melbourne / Sydney. I can't remember which one. And he had blonde hair, blue eyes. And Japanese girls did treat him like this. Like they, out here in Yamagata, in the middle of nowhere, like moths to a flame, they would flock to Tom because he was like this exotic kind of object. The blonde hair, blue eyes, very rare. You know, me, green eyes, crap hair. Nobody wants to say anything to me. But like Tom, he could just anything. So yeah. That's the only thing that makes me feel this story might be true, seeing how girls used to interact with him on nights out. But I think it's just a girl who's a little bit eccentric, to be honest. Yeah. What do you reckon? Robbery, Pete, or scams?
No, I don't think so. I think it's probably happened maybe twice in my life, a girl has expressed interest in me. And my first thought is always scam. She wants something. She wants my wallet. What's going on? She's trying to steal my keys. What's going on? Just
can you imagine that. Girls coming
scam.
Up to you like, "I want to get you a drink, Pete," and you're like, "This is a scam. Get away from me.
You're going to drug me." So yeah, I am very wary of that kind of thing. So people can't get close to me. But it's just a nice story. It just sounds like spur of the moment. Yuki just fancied saying hello, having a little smooch, DMing on Instagram, going away, and yeah, it just sounds like they were just, you know, bit of train station messing around and finding out, I suppose.
I mean, it moved very fast.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, what I can't work out from the story is the time frame. Was it 20 minutes, half an hour, five minutes? Like, I'm picturing like a 10-minute window here.
Yeah.
To go from, "I'm your friend now, add me on Instagram," to kissing in 10 minutes.
We don't know what time of day it was. She could have been pissed. She could have just been collecting, you know,
likely.
Just kind of like, spur of the moment, "I want a picture with this guy, and I don't mind a smooch neither." You know, this is what life is all about, Chris, you know, I hear.
If only. No, nothing like that has ever happened to me. So, yeah. Well done, Tom.
Good
Give
stuff.
Yourself a pat on the back.
Lovely.
You've won the prize. Yeah, that's it.
Well done.
Don't think it was a scam. I think you just got lucky.
Yeah.
But who wasn't big lucky or who was very lucky
Tom.
This week.
Just Tom coming on here.
Just boasting, isn't it?
Coming on here, just having a little boss. Tom, lucky sexy bastard. Tom from Melbourne.
Well, on a not-so-happy story. Yeah. So last week, last year, Shinzo Abe assassinated. This week, somebody else tried to assassinate the current Prime Minister, Kishida. Mm. This time, instead of using a homemade improvised shotgun, they used some sort of smoke grenade that only today they think could have been lethal if it had actually been close to him. Luckily, they got the Prime Minister away from the exploding device. It was in Wakayama again, of all places. It was Wakayama, wasn't
Don't
it?
Don't go there.
Oh, no, sorry. No, it was Nara. It was Nara.
Oh, right.
Where Shinzo Abe got shot, which is kind of like on the border, over the road, over the hill from Wakayama. Mm. But who saved Kishida and what went down, Pete? Fill us in.
Well,
happy story.
Well, I mean, it obviously massive similarities to last year's assassination of Shinzo Abe. Kishida managed to escape unharmed while the attacker was swiftly apprehended by security personnel. I can't imagine how much money they're spending on security for the Prime Minister in...
not enough last time.
This year, exactly.
Last year, bloody hell.
But even faster than the bodyguards was a pair of brave fishermen who just happened to be in the right place at the right time. One of the fishermen, 67-year-old Masami Terai, was watching... the Prime Minister as he was about to take the podium when he saw a man attempting to light something in his hands and throw it. At the same time, another unidentified 70-year-old Finnish fisherman shouted, "This guy!" To alert security and jumped on the 24-year-old attacker, putting him in a chokehold. Terai then helped to secure the struggling attacker's legs before guards took over. Their efforts were shown to be even more crucial when their fast reaction prevented any chance of the attacker throwing a second bomb, which was also in his possession. And he, basically, one of the fishermen has become a bit of a celebrity because he's wearing a bright red shirt with a snowflake print vest. He was seen on news cameras wearing very, very eye-catching print. In the aftermath of the incident, many online were asking, "Hey, where did you get that shirt from? That guy looks cool." So some internet sleuths on the internet tracked down the source of the vest as none other than Workman, a popular chain selling workwear and other practical clothing. This particular item is the winter windproof shell vest that sold for about $13. Now, the Workman website says it's not available because everybody is trying to buy this cool, bright red shirt with a snowflake print, thanks to Masami Terai, a 67-year-old fisherman who just looked absolutely fucking cool.
It's like Freakonomics, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like this, an assassination attempt leads to an increase in sales of Workman shirts.
Yeah.
Like, it's all come full circle.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I'm trying to think
to
of, like,
fisherman,
sort of like, I'm trying to think
it
of,
was
like,
pretty
things.
Fast.
I'm trying to think, like, I mean, but I mean, the aviator sunglasses survived the Unabomber. That's all I'm saying. So it's
right,
sometimes sometimes you want the clothes and the garb of the attackers and the aggressors, and sometimes you want the ones who are being attacked, the clothing of the attacked.
God, honestly, but yeah, he was pretty quick-footed, that fisherman.
Yeah,
good on him.
Fleet of foot.
I don't know. I think they revealed today why the attacker wanted, or why he tried to do it, and it was that he wanted to run for Japanese parliament, but he was too young.
Right.
I think it was he wanted to become a politician, but it was like he was under 25 or something to that effect.
Right. Okay. That you would imagine that might preclude him from from getting involved in politics in the future.
Yes, I suspect he will not be able to run for office in the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
After that.
Just don't throw bombs at people. Don't shoot people. Don't throw bombs at people. I just can't help but crying out loud, guys.
Life advice with Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, get it together.
The guy was called Kimura Ryuji. He's 24 years old. And, he claimed that an article of the law required... He basically was just angry that he wasn't old enough to become a politician. Right. Probably a few more things going on than that. It was it's always interesting hearing the motives of these guys. They're often very baffling. It was fascinating watching Shinzo Abe's kind of decline in popularity after the motives of his assassin were revealed. The Church of Unification, right? This dodgy church slash very bizarre religious kind of sect had got a lot of money out of the assassin's mum, and he was very bitter about that. And because Shinzo Abe endorsed the church once, he turned his ire on Shinzo Abe, and that's just.
Right, yeah.
But the whole thing, like this whole sort of conspiracy of uncovering the Unification Church and their sort of entrenched positions in Japanese politics, which is quite disturbing. And, like, you know, a lot of conspiracy theories just turn out to be bullshit. This was a conspiracy theory that was very much true. This church had infiltrated every level of the Japanese political system, and it kind of, it turned... After Shinzo Abe's assassination, he just became extremely unpopular to the point that people sort of sympathised with this assassin, and the state funeral was very much not popular, and people didn't want it funded by the government. So, I don't think this guy's going to be quite as popular for that, though, or going to be quite so sympathetic in terms of the people. But, yeah, honestly, I'm just thank God that Kishida wasn't assassinated. Can you imagine two Japanese prime ministers in the space of under a year?
Oh, I mean, it would be... I mean, you'd never see a politician ever again, would you, really? I mean, like, the can you imagine how much money they're spending on kind of security right now? Because it seems to be rather in vogue. Like, you know, two attacks in the space of a year. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I think that's the worrying thing, right? If the media covers it too much, then other people might get the idea of doing that, right, and getting a level of infamy from it. So it's a dangerous situation. The media reports on it.
Yeah.
Give the assassins a degree of notoriety, and people want to have that for themselves. So, we'll see what happens. But, like, hopefully this doesn't lead to more situations like this happening. And, I hope the security services are up to scratch, because they didn't do the best of jobs last year, did they? Leaving, like, shit completely exposed from behind. It was absolutely shocking, really, how that happened last year. Still can't believe it did happen. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Now we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
We got a message. Keshav from Melbourne. More chat from our Antipodean brothers and sisters. Hey, Frisky Chris and Peppermint Pete. Me and my fiance are planning our wedding in her hometown of Kagoshima in December this year. We've been struggling for a while now and deciding a place to spend our honeymoon. If you were to be in my position, where would you spend your honeymoon in Japan? Or would you even do it in Japan? Have you given it a thought about once you and Charlotte tie the knot? Looking forward to hearing back from you. And cheers, Keshav from Melbourne. Yeah.
Very nice.
Beautiful.
That'd be lovely. A wedding in Kagoshima. Kagoshima is just such an amazing city. Passed through it again last month on the cycle. Wasn't there long enough. Never am. It's the annoying thing. I've been to Kagoshima 3 times and I've sort of passed through it in like a couple of hours or something. Mm. But it's the sort of place you want to spend more time. Like, it's such a surreal and otherworldly place. Like, have you been, Pete? Have you seen it? Like, the just like when you look across the bay from the city, there's this big, huge, smouldering volcano. Yeah. And when I was there last month, the smoke was sort of enshrouding the volcano and blowing across the bay towards the city. And just never seen anywhere quite like it.
I can't imagine it's that nice
when it does erupt over the city, which it does frequently.
We sort of stayed in... We kind of got down to Kagoshima and we found out that it was going to be absolutely chucking it down for the next 3 days. And, you know, we're not there for a long time. We're there for a good time. So we thought, right, let's try and escape the rain. And I just remember sort of booking hotels, back towards kind of Osaka way, as I was looking out at the volcano, because there's so many like lovely kind of vantage points around Kagoshima, the city, looking across and stuff. It's a really, really interesting, unique part of Japan, because obviously you're really close to other places as well. So I'm a big fan of that. Beautiful place to get married. Well done.
I mean, well done. Full points. But like, honeymoon though. Where would I spend my honeymoon in Japan? I don't know, really. Probably Okinawa. It's got an element of glamour and wonder. And it's kind of like the Hawaii of Japan, right? Mm. And stunning. Absolutely stunning. Maybe not in summer, because it is absurdly hot, but Okinawa. I found things there that I never thought I would when I was there last year. I don't know what that means. It was very weird. I was going to say,
planning a little trip sort of later in the year with my partner, and my partner loves a beach, loves beaches and stuff, loves pretty places. And I was like, getting off a flight in Tokyo and then getting on another flight to go to Okinawa, it's a bit of a pain in the bum. Is there anything Okinawa-y in the mainland? I need something Okinawa-y.
If you were going to do that, you could stop in Tokyo for a day or two, right? And see my studio. We could look at the highway overpass together. Mm. Look at this. There's a big fucking road. I would say the Inland Sea. Yeah. You know, the Shimonami Kaido cycle, the islands, like another place that I only ever pass through quickly on a bike, but I often think, fuck, why don't I spend a week here, right? Because you've got these little, tiny, beautiful hidden islands, and they've got these really secluded beaches. But there isn't, like, Japan doesn't do beach infrastructure very well.
No.
They just don't have a real sort of beach appreciation culture, apart from maybe like Enoshima and that area in Tokyo. Mm. So, no, I would say go to Okinawa, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's only like a 2-hour flight.
I know.
And you can give her some spam. She's flown
some
for
delicious
12
spam.
Hours. Yeah. Give her some Okinawan spam and some... what else do they have in Okinawa? Give her a frog purse. A purse is made of frogs.
Oh, yes. They love all that shit.
And some snake sake.
Oh, dear.
She'll love it.
Yeah.
It's the dream.
That's sounding less and less good.
Have your honeymoon. But no, as for me, my honeymoon, Lord knows. Everyone goes to the Maldives. Oh, that would be kind of cool, Maldives. But I don't know. Jordan? Spain?
Yeah.
Italy? Switzerland? I don't know. Where should I go on my honeymoon, Pete?
I'd go to Jeju Island in
Jeju
Korea.
Island.
I'd go to Jeju Island, oh, Korea. Yeah. That's very nice, isn't it? Oh, I don't know, somewhere like Thailand.
Didn't you get stuck on there and you couldn't find a taxi, though?
Yeah, but that was very yeah. much my issue.
Well, I mean, a crap honeymoon.
I mean, I should have got a car. I'm at, like, all of these trips I took pre being able to drive. What an idiot. It would have been so much easier.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what goes on Jeju Island other than a lack of taxis. But I'll look into it. We've got a story from Gabe and Hayden from Australia. What is this episode? Everyone's just from Australia this week. Hello, Calpis Chris and Picari Pete. Gabe from Australia, but originally from Nachikatsura here, Japanese. Chris, what are your recommendations on hidden spots close to Yamagata City, apart from Yamadera Temple, as we plan to be in Fukushima, Yamagata, for 3 days? Keep up the work, guys. Gabe and Hayden from Australia. Well, I'd say Ochijuku, the old samurai town of Fukushima. That's lovely. The Sazaido Temple in Aizu Wakamatsu, Fukushima. I recently took a friend there and they loved it. It's a temple that's got a helix design to it, and it's kind of stolen from Leonardo da Vinci, so it must be good. There's also the sunken forest, which you can kayak through, which I raved about last week, and the Fukushima Exclusion Zone, which is quite an interesting place, quite educational. But yeah, there's loads of places. Oh, you're sport for choice, really. Sport for choice.
Well, other
guys. Eat some Yonezawa beef, though, unless you're a vegetarian, in which case,
don't do that at all.
We got one here from Anna from Virginia, who says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. Is it hard for taller people to navigate Japan? My husband is 6'7". I think that's 2 metres. Is he going to have to deal with being Godzilla in Japan? Should I sew him up his own sized yukata for our ryokan, traditional Japanese in day?" Thank you, guys. Anna from Virginia with a very tall husband. Usually we sort of say, no, it's not a problem. But 6'7".
6'7"'s like...
It's quite tall.
Cracking on for, you know, Andre the Giant size, isn't it? And he had a terrible time in Japan.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of Godzilla. I don't think there's going to be any clothes that fit you whatever in Japan, to be honest. So bring your own yukata. It's not a bad idea, actually. Do make one.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to look comedic. It's going to look like a giant wearing... like children's clothing. It's just not gonna work out. Best of luck there. Have a great trip. That being said, keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan channel. Bye for now. Channel podcast
video boy.
Oh no.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.